5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The shark, babe, has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with its teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round the corner, could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight to dare. Five will get you 10, old Mackey's back in town. Now did you hear about Louis Miller? He disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie, he spends just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? And Lucy Brown, oh, the line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town, I said, Jenny Diver, whoa, Suki Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie Lynn, yes. And old Lucy Brown, yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, well, well. Good evening, one and all. Good evening, listener. And welcome to the new Panic Room, episode 205. And it is 9:30 on the 17th of September, 2020. And indeed, yes, it's been a day. It has been a day today. I'm pretty easygoing, but I don't know, today it's just been one thing after another. And I need brightening up, so without further ado.
Come on, I'm with
Well, Xtina, I cheer me up. It's been an absolute day in a bit today. You know, it's a day of fools, I like to call it. It's been, you know. I actually made a meme, and I need to resurrect it again. Obviously you get up in the morning, the sun's shining, the birds are singing, and it's a brand new day, and all the excitement of that. And then at the bottom, I put, now watch some cunt spoil it. And today has been that day. Literally started off all nice and shiny and new, and it's been a succession of one dick after another, hell-bent on ruining my day, you know. And so thank you to everyone who's contributed to making my day an absolute fucking nightmare. Thank you. And I just, you know, hope you all get diarrhea or something. Explosive diarrhea.
We didn't even get any sun here today. And I have to say, the day was pretty much just as fun as yours. And let me tell this awesome story. So I'm already, you know, like you said, your day was stressful. I had this, you know, a lot of crap too. And I go down at like 7:30 tonight to start dinner. And, you know, there's a dog at the back door and she's crying to get in. But I knew she pooped on the floor earlier, so I'm like, I'm going to leave her out there for a little bit longer so she can, you know, do her business. Mm-hmm. And I'm cooking at the same time. And finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. She just kept whining, so I went and let her in. And I'm back at the stove, and I'm cooking. And then I take a step back, and I step in dog poo. And I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, so on top of the bad day, I step in dog poo and while I'm cooking, you know.
Was it fresh? So was it fresh? It's still fresh from the bottom.
It was warm and...
and now you're going to tell you had nothing on your feet, did you?
I sure didn't. So now I'm standing there at the stove with dog shit on my foot, trying to stir up the, you know, the hamburger meat for the tacos, and I'm texting the boyfriend. I'm like, dog shit on the floor. I've stepped in it, and he's like, I'll be down in a few minutes. And I'm thinking, I can't leave it here on the floor while I'm cooking right behind, you know, like, it's right behind me, and I stepped in it. And, you know, a few minutes for him turns into almost 15. And by the time he came down the stairs, you know, I was ready to throw the taco meat at him. I didn't.
So you stood there cooking with dog shit between your toes for 15
minutes? No, I actually didn't. I ran in the bathroom and you know, cleaned and showered my foot off, basically. Mm-hmm. And, and then had to deal with the crap on the floor. And it made me definitely, I didn't have much of an appetite during dinner. I will say that.
No, so it would have put me right off as well. Yeah. Yeah. No,
so
when we had that, the stupid little fucking chihuahua thing, which, you know, I made no boat. He knew I hated him and he hated me, and that's how it went. And he was just shit. The dogs, not again, touch wood. The only time our big dog, the biggest dog, and he was ill. I mean, he was ill. I mean, he actually had explosive diarrhea around the house. Other than that, never a, you know, and the two we have now, no, they're fine. They asked to go. But the only thing, he just likes going out and then likes coming in. He'll go to the door and he'll jump and he'll get all excited. He'll open the door, let him out. And it literally, and then he'll just, by the minute you've closed the door, he's sat waiting to come back in. It's like just the going out bit. It's great, you know, but I don't actually like being out. I just like going out, you know. And then he'll come back in, and then, you know, if I stand up, you know, I sit in the living room, I'll stand up, and I'll, for whatever reason, oh, I want to go out, And literally, you were out. Literally two minutes ago. Because you dare not let them, just in case they just, you know, shit on the floor and go, oh, I told you I want to go out.
Yeah.
This is on you, fat boy, this one. Dog poo is never fun. But anyway, look, I've got to play this. speaking of complete and utter fuckwits,
would you like to see specifically done on the issue of forest management? And is it possible that it's also forest management and climate change? It's both things
at the
same time.
Well, I think something's possible. I think a lot of things are possible. But with regard to the forest, when trees fall down after a short period of time, about 18 months, they become very dry. They become really like a matchstick. And they get up, you know, there's no more water pouring through. And they become very, very, they just explode. They can explode. Also, leaves. When you have years of leaves, dried leaves on the ground, it just sets it up. It's really a fuel for a fire. So they have to do something about it. They also have to do cuts. I mean, people don't like to do cuts, but they have to do cuts in between. So if you do have a fire and it gets away, you'll have a 50-yard cut in between. So it won't be able to catch to the other side. They don't do that. If you go to other countries, you go to Austria, you go to Finland, you go to many different countries, and they don't have fire. I was talking to a head of a major country, and he said, we're a forest nation. We consider ourselves a forest nation. This was in Europe. I said, that's a beautiful term. He said, we have trees that are far more explosive. He meant explosive in terms of fire. But we have trees that are far more explosive than they have in California, and we don't have any problem because we manage.
Explosive trees, seriously? Seriously, what is it? I mean, you know, and you know me, I'm not one to get involved in politics, you know, but it's just something, just listen, it could just be me, but just hearing his voice, I just want to punch him in the fucking throat, literally.
You know.
His larynx collapses, and then I would stand over him and shit on his chest while he choked to death. I mean, what an absolute... fucktard. What was that? Seriously, this is the guy. There's no wonder that the country is in the mess that it is in. There's no wonder that the whole COVID-19 thing is so badly managed. You know, this is why. That specifically is why. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. It's county by county, state by... Nobody knows what they're supposed to do. We've got to wear a mask. You don't have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask to... You know, to get into a restaurant, but you don't have to wear it sitting down. You have to, and it's just, it's bullshit, you know? Our kids' education is being ruined. Our lives are being fucking ruined. Everything is a mess, you know? People are losing everything. And a lot of it has to rest with this guy. He has badly managed the whole damn thing, you know? So if you, and I know Donald does listen. Thoughts and prayers, Donald. Thoughts and prayers. Thank you for tuning in. But you know, Donald, just give up. Seriously,
don't
cling to power just because the minute you leave, they're going to put you in prison. That is a bad excuse to be president.
I truly believe if he would just stick to the notes that you know these writers have, probably prepared for him. I think he'd be much better off. I do. And I honestly think that the presidential seat is kind of just a figurehead anyway. I don't think he has as much power. I think that there's other people, you know, that are pulling the strings.
No, that's not true. No? Yes, there are other people.
You don't think so?
But look at who he's surrounded himself with. They're sycophants, they're family members. Anybody who dares say anything against him are discredited and fired, you know, or end up in prison, you know. I mean, he just ruins everybody who say you're right. I mean, it's not, everything's not just on him, but everything around him is on him, you know. And this is what we're saying with Biden. I mean, Biden, it is, you know, listening to Biden speak is like listening to an incoherent autistic two-year-old.
But at least
he will be able to surround him. Kamala Harris, you know, he's a good, strong politician. He will surround himself with good. So even if he's just a figurehead, but with good people around, with a good cabinet around him, then hopefully he would be able to drag the country at least partially out of the mire that Trump's dug us into, you know. But it's. I don't know, the whole thing. I know we were talking earlier about the whole school thing, and I don't want to spend the whole show talking about that, but what an absolute clusterfuck that is. Seriously, yes, we could. What a mess.
We joke about it
because if you don't laugh, you cry, you know. But it's our children's future. You know, my daughter, It's her life. It's her future. It could mean the difference between her getting to do what she wants in life or not, you know? Thankfully, her and her friend, their aspirations are to, when they're old enough to go live in Vegas and be strippers. So, hey, you know, hopefully by then,
go India.
You know, by then the COVID will be relaxed enough, at least, so she can go be a stripper, you know?
Right, right. You know. She, yeah, definitely. I was going to keep going with that, but no, that's a
yeah, could we not?
Yeah.
I don't know, a lot of the show
I stopped.
musing about my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter being a stripper, you know, but yeah. And that which brings me neatly actually to all, I know everybody's up in arms about this Netflix movie, Cuties, which I believe is a French movie.
Oh, my God.
And it's not often I engage people on a serious level on Facebook because I think the whole thing's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of light entertainment. Some woman, she posted, you know, boycott Netflix, don't watch this show, don't watch this movie. And I said, have you seen it? You know, and I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just, you know, allow people to make their own minds up. And she got back to me, a big mistake, and said she hadn't seen it. But based on the trailer and some of the clips she's seen from it, I just thought to shut the fuck up. Seriously, I said, how dare you tell people what they can and can't watch based on something you have and you haven't? You know, and yet the thing is, you know, it's the same mentality as the halfwits who are banning To Kill a Mockingbird.
Everything.
Oh, because it depicts racism. Yes, it does. That's the fucking point, you know. Same with this Cuties. Again, as I understand, I will sit and watch it when I get an hour and a half, or you know, I've got nothing better to do. It depicts the exploitation of young girls, but she's done dance, you know, she's done cheer, and that is, you know, they dress them in skimpy outfits, they put makeup on, and all the rest of it, and they look like little mini prostitutes, which is probably how she got a stripper idea from the first place, to be honest. You know, and it depicts that, the pageant circuits, it depicts all of that in a negative light. It's very anti. It's directed by a woman, for crying out loud, you know. So, again, people miss the point, which is, but long story short, unless you know the facts, do not tell me what I can. In fact, even if you do know the facts, don't tell me what I can and can't do. Except to buy, and this is to buy The Horrorzine's Book of Ghost Stories.
That was smooth. That was really smooth.
That was so smooth.
Speaking of.
So smooth, it was sexual, wasn't it?
Speaking of which, we have some of the authors.
Hey, do we? What are the odds?
We do. I know. We have four of the authors from The Horrorzine's Book of Ghost Stories with us tonight to talk about their stories in the anthology. And I love everything about this anthology, that we have some great authors. I think the cover's great. And I love ghost stories. Who doesn't love a ghost story? But, I mean, I think for
exactly.
me, probably
exactly.
my favorite. Yeah.
What a line. I've got, contributing authors, I mean, all of them, absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we're all, anybody in the horror world, you know, we all have that soft spot for a jolly good ghost story, you know, and absolute zingers. But so I tell you what we're going to do, should we bring them on?
We should.
I think, tell you what, we're going to bring them on one at a time. Let's start with, I'm going to do this, because you don't know who the hell, you know, what order they're in, do you? You've no idea.
No
idea. So, first of all, we're going to bring on, hopefully he's still there. Hold on. It is Derek Austin Johnson. Hopefully we've got him. Derek, is that you?
This is me, yes. How are you?
There we go. Yeah, I did it right. We're going to bring everybody on, so I'm going to try and do this one at a time. I know I'm going to muck up at some point. And the next one we're going to bring on, God help me, is hopefully Teresa Jacobs. Hello?
Hello. Hello,
Teresa.
Hi.
We're going to give you a cheer. And who have we got next? We've got Nicholas Pascal. Hopefully. Hi, Nicholas. Are you there? Hello. I'll tell you what. Let's bring Maureen on as Maureen O'Leary as well. I may have got people mixed up. We have Maureen,
hey.
And we also have Nicholas. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Is that Nicholas?
Yep, this is Nicholas.
Hey, so we've got full house. So welcome to the show, guys. Thank you, A, so much for joining us, and B, so much for your awesome contributions to the. It's one of my favourite anthologies. I shouldn't say that because I've just offended everybody in all our other anthologies forever. Now it is what it's one of my favourites. Again, we say everybody loves a jolly good ghost story. So so welcome.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, I've been dying to ask this question all week, actually, is as writers of some phenomenal ghost stories, out of all four of you, I mean, who actually does believe in ghosts, or who's had an experience with one?
I have Maureen O'Leary. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, one at a time,
maybe
come
we
on.
Have.
Well, you've all had an experience. So let's hear some ghost experiences. Who wants to go first?
I say ladies first.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll
ladies,
go.
Ladies, go.
Oh, okay. No, Maureen. Okay, Maureen, you go.
Okay, so I used to work at a high school that's one of the oldest high schools west of the Mississippi in Sacramento, and I was by myself cleaning it out, and I heard a noise behind me as I was sweeping like this. It went like this, like that. I turn around, and it's a young lady all in white with white eyes and white hair, all white looking. And I turn around, and I didn't have time for this because I was very busy. I had 2 hours to get my classroom cleaned up before I had to go pick up my kid from daycare. And so I just went around and clapped the corners. I said, out of here, this is my time now, and she left.
Yikes.
I know, it's not really, real ghost stories really aren't much of a story. There's not really a beginning, a middle, and an end. But, like, she was there, let me know she was there, and then she went away.
Wow, and you knew straight away she was a ghost?
Well, she wasn't alive or a person.
Right.
Wow.
It was, well,
so
how did and my people are from the old country, and we believe in this shit. We just do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how did it make you feel?
Annoyed because I was very busy. I mean, I had I didn't have time. I was annoyed. I was like, I can't be haunted right now, bitch. I couldn't.
Could you come back? Let's get our calendars together.
Could you come back?
You know, I think that's why I've never had an experience myself, is because I know I couldn't handle it. I would just freak out, and I think the ghosts know that, so they don't even bother. You know, we would frighten her to death. We'll just leave her alone. I mean, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, if I was a ghost, that would encourage me to do it all the more.
Oh, God. No.
I can't imagine you as a ghost.
No.
I would love to be a ghost. I'm really kind of hoping, I'm kind of banking on that there is some sort of Africa. I just want to come back and piss people off, really.
Too, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That'd be a good ghost story. The ghost who pisses everyone off.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be great.
It would. I think we all have ideas.
Yeah,
growing now.
I think Nick wrote that story.
I think so, yeah.
My story kind of deals with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that scared the shit out of me. That story was amazing, Nick. I really liked it.
I'm not sad. I haven't even had time to read them yet. I just keep writing new stories every day, and I don't get any reading in.
This is a good one we're in. It's a really good book. You should read it. I read all the stories. I read yours too, Mr. Host, James. I read your swarm one. That was terrifying. Ruined my day.
Now, were you going to tell us about an experience you had, Teresa? Did you have some kind of otherworldly experience?
Yeah, my story is actually based on my experience. Of course, I had to turn it into a story, like Maureen said, with a beginning, middle, and an end, and I had to make it scarier because there was some kind of a being in a house that I moved into, and it was terrifying, and I had the sense from the moment I walked into that house that this person had killed people, and then they killed themselves in the house. And when they appeared to me in a window, and I was done. I was out. Like, the next day, I was gone.
Yeah. You know, when I was younger, 10, 11-ish, we were going to move into this apartment complex, and but they took us to see one of the ones that was open, and my mom walked in it and said, "Nope, I'm not living here." And we ended up getting a different apartment. But there was something in there that just did not agree with her, and she knew right away. And I'm just happy to say, I think I totally believe in. I'm not sure if I would say ghosts, but spirits, demons. I do believe that there is stuff out there, and I'm just happy to say that I've never really had experiences, like nothing concrete, you know, stuff that I'm like, oh, I didn't feel right or something. But if I ever came face to face with something, I would die afraid. I mean, I can't even watch a scary movie. I can't even watch a scary movie at night, because if I go to the bathroom, you know, late at night, I have to leave the door open, and then I'm like, oh, God, please don't see anything, you know. I have my eyes closed, and I'm like, if I ignore it, it won't be there, you know.
Yeah, I won't look in there, so I understand that.
Yeah.
So a question for everyone. Okay, ghosts. Let's assume, they are there, and they are what they are. But what do we think they are? Are they sort of an echo of old memories? Are they bioethical activity that sort of stuck around? Are they souls? I mean, what's the general consensus of what a ghost could be?
Pretty much everyone I've ever talked to always thinks they're just like echoes of memories and ideas and shit. Just doomed to repeat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel they are sort of sentient beings, you know, that they, you know, I'm just trying to think, yeah, they're no more than just an echo, you know, that they're not, you know, thinking beings.
Yeah. The one I saw didn't really react to anything. It just kept scaring the crap out of me. So, yeah.
What happened?
It would appear at incredibly inopportune times, and I hated it every second of my childhood.
Wow. Yeah.
Why do you feel
it was doing that to you?
My personal theory is it's a dick, but my other theory was it probably had something to do with, like, kids or something. Not like in any aggressive manner, but it probably just wanted to be around kids. I first saw it when I was like 7 or 8, and then I got out of that room in my family's house when I was around 12 and my sister moved out. I moved out of my room the night she moved out to get out of that room.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That room was horrifying. I hated that room.
Oh, wow.
Did your parents know? Yeah. Did they make you stay there? Like,
oh, yeah.
They couldn't give you another...
My mom and dad knew. They didn't believe me because, you know, 7 or 8 years old in like the 90s, you know, come on, you know, no one buys a kid. Mm-hmm. It was a classic horror movie set up to where something was going to eat me and then eat them later.
Oh, I'm scared for you. And it was a long time ago.
The kids warning them. Oh, the kids. No, it's just a kid, you know. You know, fast forward 30 minutes, my dad's on the ceiling, his limbs are on the wall, mom's on fire.
Oh, God.
Like, that's how I always felt around that thing. I would wake up, and it would be standing at the end of my bed, staring at me. And I hated that thing so much.
When did you finally get out of the house? Like, how old were you?
20. If you didn't go in its room, it didn't get too active. We eventually just turned it into storage, and it calmed down. Like, had some friends that were really skeptical come over once and dare me to go in the room. I laughed in their faces. And
wow.
They were like, well, we'll go in. I was like, the hell you will. Y'all are going to go in there then leave. I'm going to have to live with this thing for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. Mm. We, I think we have some excerpts to read. And we were, when Teresa was telling us that about her story, and it was, about something that happened. Why don't we start there? Do you want to read us your excerpt, Teresa?
Oh, okay. You want me to read it? All right.
Yeah.
It's the pale man. The rooms were set at opposite ends of the hallway, with the linen closet between the bathroom and the master bedroom. Passing from room to room, her eyes would dart to the closet, and she'd recall the sallow, bony form from her imagination. A cold draft whistled through the hall, and shadows from the living room shifted. Her skin tightened and her knees tensed. Standing still, moving only her head, she tried to see around the corner. "Stop it, Leanne," she berated herself. Her sphincter tightened. She forced her legs to step out of the bedroom and into the hall. Rounding the corner to the cluttered living room, she noted the picture window was still curtainless and emitting weak light across the hardwood. The spit sunset was finished and darkness was coming on. With no overhead light to turn on and all their lamps still tucked safely away, Leanne opted to get a candle from the kitchen. She lit it with a match, then decided to tuck some sheets over the window for the night. Moving through the living room, she bent to the box of linen. A loud crack echoed through the house. Her knees buckled, she shrieked, and bumped into the pile of boxes. Still holding the candle safely upright, somehow the flame didn't go out. The boxes toppled, creating more ruckus noise, and her heart felt like it was sitting in her throat. Uncertain what to think, she looked around for a weapon. The first thing she spotted was a broom. Feeling braver with something in her hand, she tiptoed back into the kitchen. No one was there. If someone made that noise, they were gone now. She concluded she was alone in the house. The stove clock told her that Mark should be home within 20 minutes, give or take. The house was giving her the heebie-jeebies like she'd never felt before. Looking through the doorway into the shadow-infested living room, the light from her candle shined across the dark room, illuminating shapes into reality. In a split second, she saw a mound of boxes, the sofa, recliner, filing cabinet, and a tall, pale man standing in the corner.
And it's time to move.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thank you all for coming.
You're welcome.
Right. Now, speaking of ghosts and stuff, Dad, does anybody, what is your favorite, like, ghost movie or, you know, a favorite book with a ghost story or, you know, any of those? Anyone?
I like ghost. Peter Straub's Ghost Story. That's one of my favorite books.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was hoping
yeah,
to see
I read that one. That
was phenomenal, yeah.
I haven't had the pleasure.
You're going to have to put it on your list.
Oh, I'm jealous of you. I wish I'd never read it before so I could read it again for the first time.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
And the movie was good as well. The Heart-Shaped Box, that was Joe Hill.
Joe Hill, yeah.
Oh, I love Joe Hill.
That was a good
great,
one.
Great story, that, yeah.
There's another one that's just published recently called Break the Bodies, Haunt the Bones by Micah Hicks, where you have an entire half town populated by ghosts, and the residents just sort of treat them as as ordinary. So.
Oh, wow.
That sounds good.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I like that.
Awesome.
That's a great premise, that, yeah.
I like Netflix's, what was it, the House on Haunted Hill, or not that.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. It's the remake of that old story.
Yeah.
And they did
the
such
Jackson
a good
one,
job on that.
That was
they
fantastic.
Did.
Yeah.
They really
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I recently just saw the preview for the trailer for season 2 There, it's going to be an anthology, so it's like some of the same actors, but a totally different haunting. And I don't know how they did it, but it looks creepier than the.
Oh,
you know,
wow!
I'm
really looking forward to that.
Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, they did such a cracking. That was obviously Shirley Jackson's story, wasn't it? Absolutely brilliant job of that. It's not often. I mean, I'm you know, because obviously we're in the business, and I've been writing horror for a lot of years, so I don't scare easily. But by God, that I was one of those that you know you go to bed after watching it, and you sort of I wanted to hide under the covers, you know, because it just stayed with it. Because it didn't really, I mean, there was jump scares in it, but it didn't rely on the jump scares. It was the overall, the all-pervading creepiness and the atmosphere they built.
Yeah.
It was for the small screen as well, it was so incredible. I hope, you know, the next season does stand up to that, because they've got big shoes to fill. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. They would hide actors dressed in really screwed up outfits in like the background in that show. And so you're watching it, and for a half second out of the corner of your eye, on the very edge of the screen, there's just some dude with like a slit throat for like two frames. And I didn't realize they'd done that until I read it online. I was like, oh my God, that's what I saw. Oh, I thought I was just losing my mind.
Yeah,
that was too much. It was so good.
But it registers subliminally, you know, even if, like you say, even consciously you don't see it. You have seen it, and, you know, it's, but whatever they did, I mean, it worked. I guess it's like, you know, the first season of American Horror Story, which is obviously Ghost House, which I think was by far the best of all of the seasons.
It was.
Yeah.
But they did it so incredibly well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was.
I really like Marianne. I don't know if anyone watched Marianne on Netflix. It was French and it was dubbed.
Oh,
yes,
I did.
Horrible.
Yes,
I loved it. Like you, I kind of had to get through the first three episodes. The storyline was incredible once it got going. That was good.
And it's another one I got to add to my watch list.
Yeah,
you got some catching up to do.
It was super scary.
I do. Y'all have given me a couple books, a couple shows to watch. God, great.
Now, going back to the anthology, I'm going to go by the list here. Derek, why don't you tell us about your story in the anthology?
Sure. Well, I'm just going to give a small bit of backstory. This is the piece I wrote. Has to deal with ghost hunting, which I've always sort of been fascinated by. I used to work with a guy whose wife hunted ghosts as a hobby, so he knew all of the, you know, the tech that was involved with it and what have you. He was always amused by a stay I had in San Antonio in 2013. I was in town for a convention and called my hotel just to check the reservation. I was a little concerned because the hold music they played was Hotel California.
Nice.
That does not bode well.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you get to the hotel and, you know, there's a, you know, I didn't have an actual experience except for a cold spot in one of the hallways, and the hallways were weird themselves. Nothing was at right angles. Everything was always kind of these weird Lovecraftian sort of other dimensional spaces, I guess you could say. And I found out much later that the hotel, the funny thing was that the hotel I found out much later was I was staying at was the Crockett Hotel, which is one of the most haunted hotels in San Antonio. So I felt somewhat honored to be there after that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry for interrupting. Speaking of ghost hunting, though, do you watch any of the ghost hunting shows on TV?
I don't myself. And this has nothing to do with the quality of any of them. it's simply a matter of time. You know, we're talking television and we're going, oh, you need to watch this, we need to watch that. I know me, the second I start getting sucked into a TV series, I will do absolutely nothing else. You know, I will become that guy in the Weird Al Yankovic song who wants to watch all the TV he ever wanted. Sign me up for that, absolutely. I can't eat a potato.
When Ghost Hunters first came out, I don't even remember how many years ago it was, but it was quite a lot. I really liked them. I mean, for the most part, you know, they never found anything. Anything that they did think was creepy or whatever, they could usually debunk it. So it's just very rarely that they would be like, you know, there is definitely something there that we can't explain. And I, you know, maybe it was being naive, but I trusted them. I was like, these guys are legit, you know. And now they're so, don't laugh at me. And now there are so many different ghost hunting shows. And I don't know. I'm just like, you know, which one do you think is the most legitimate and stuff? That's what I'm trying to find out. Because I don't have a lot of time to sit around and watch TV. So when I do, I want it to be worth my while. You know, I don't want every 2 seconds, did you hear that? Did you hear that? You know, because that's what they're, you know, they're full of now. But, yeah.
I'm also easily susceptible. So, and we live in a 1929 bungalow. So the slightest creak, and next thing you know, you're going to just start hearing your imagination will run away with you easily enough. So
yes, yeesh.
So.
Okay. Speaking of your story now, would you like to share with us your excerpt?
Sure, absolutely. This is called Proof of Afterlife. It always ended badly. That was the lesson Sutter Luce learned after so many years of crawling through splintered fences and wading through hip-high, reedy grass in his investigations. It was one he thought of now as his tires splashed water against a curb and he parked his battered Camry a block away from the town. But that was the lesson, he reminded himself. Regardless of our present moment, our fates remain the same. We were here until we weren't. His wife, Cassie, often warned him something bad would happen. They're never safe, those old houses, she'd say. At least use the instruments. She believed in the toys. You're playing at being a ghost hunter, Sutter once told her after an unsuccessful visit to an abandoned hotel in Shreveport, where Cassie had set up multiple EMS sensors. It explains why you have so much stuff. You're not interested in finding ghosts. You're only interested in the chase. You don't even understand that there are different types of ghosts. She hadn't liked that, and now he was alone. His stomach grumbled. Sutter had not eaten since breakfast before he made the journey from Houston to Shadow Hills. This was his ritual, stemming from a belief that physical hunger might manifest as some metaphysical need. It didn't stop the gurgling, however. No matter. If he found what he was looking for, he told himself, then he would treat himself to a large late-night meal at one of the chain restaurants dotting the freeways. His stomach croaked even louder in anticipation. After circling the town square twice, he drove down several streets lined with houses dating from the early 1900s until he stood in front of the cottage. Single story, graying white paint peeling from the wooden siding, the yellow tape wrapped around it seeming to hold everything together, as if it was a package that would fall apart if unstrung. It was sandwiched between two Victorian homes, both built in the early years of the last century, both of which dwarfed the smaller structure, yet the cottage appeared to loom over the other homes. The setting sun cast long shadows that merged over the cottage's front lawn, a dark radiation that sapped the other structures of size and vitality, especially the house where a man murdered his family with a shotgun and then disappeared. Well, stop there.
I love the descriptive nature of it. Like you,
I wasn't
you really
ready
nailed.
For you to stop.
I was getting really pulled into that. If I hadn't read the story,
I can read the rest of the excerpt if you'd like. So.
I've read it.
Yeah,
I love that story. So.
Well,
yeah, it just looks like you had so much Yeah, it doesn't look like you had too much to go. I would be fine if you want to keep going.
Sure. Okay. Let me finish the rest of it then. All right. Sutter took another step toward it, then hesitated. This part always triggered his anxiety, regardless of where he went. He spent so much time looking for ghosts, finding the homes where their energy might still linger, and hoping to capture one with a single vibrant photograph, but always walked away with the usual errors. The halos that came from chromatic aberrations, the memory cards that blended past and present images, the rolling shutter smearing light from the flash, things that got him excited for a second before he realized what they were. He just needed one image, just one, to make his own hunting worthwhile. One image could provide concrete evidence of life beyond the phenomenal world, a proof of afterlife, he thought grimly. And Sutter would get it here, in this place where murder occurred only a few short months ago. It was a violence that would manifest itself into energy, a psychic emergence of fear and anger that could break through any barriers with which the afterlife cloaked itself.
Oh, I like that. I'm definitely going to have to read this book. I hate that I haven't yet, but it's been we're doing an audiobook, right? Right, James? Isn't it? Don't we have? Yeah, I should be the one to answer this question. I know, but I could listen to it. There you go. I could listen to it, and it'd be I wouldn't have to read and act. Yeah. Okay. I'm babbling. Thank you.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will be. It will be an audiobook at some point.
Yeah.
At some point, pretty soon, hopefully. So, it'd be a great one to sit and listen to in the dark, I think.
Mm. Oh, God,
yeah.
No. Light on. Well, I think we are going to take a short break real quick. I'm going to have a song and play some commercials. And so don't anyone go anywhere, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we will be right back.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Another moonlight. You see a sight that almost stops. creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Funk of 40,000 years and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Duh! Welcome back to part two.
I guess we really couldn't have played anything else, could we?
Vincent Price, he's a classic.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I remember, I mean, back in the old, yes, I'm going to age myself terribly now. I remember when it was out, when it came out, it was actually banned from the British TV pop shows because, the video was too scary.
Wow.
Hard to think that that's too scary, right? Especially with everything
else. Funnily enough, actually, I mentioned. Yeah, as another sex, my daughter used to do dance. They actually did a routine to that when she was about five or six. So it's obviously not that scary anymore. It was kind of funny to see, my little girl is at that age doing the whole thriller routine. It's like, wow. But obviously it was groundbreaking in its time. So I just feel very, very old now. Very, very old indeed.
So I was wondering what everybody is working on now.
I am working on a fantasy piece, so that's not really horror. But for horror, I'm writing a possession one for a different publisher.
I like possession stories. They're number two, maybe number one. I don't know what scares me more, because I definitely believe in those too. And yikes. James wrote a really awesome possession story in one of our anthologies from the point of view of the demon, which I thought was a pretty interesting take on it. Dave, wasn't it Dave?
I can't remember now. It's one of those, people expect you to remember all your stuff, but, it's often, the point of view of the demon, or, the possessor, is often neglected, I find. So I thought, they need a voice. So there you go. We should start a Me Too movement for demons, I think, so that they get their voice.
Aww.
Yes, what about heritage?
Yeah.
They don't all just swear and threaten to do horrible things to your mother in hell. They have feelings, too.
Yes.
They are, I was going to say they are people, too. I mean, obviously, technically, they're not people, too, but surely.
If you have to get a bare bones about it, they're not people. But
surely, they have rights, we should do more. We should do more for demon rights, I think.
They're getting their rights fulfilled just fine right now.
That would go swimmingly. Yeah. Can you imagine the news articles on that?
Yeah, they're flying right now.
Demon rights.
Mm.
They don't need an advocate.
I'd be more curious to see the demons that decide they want to get out of the human bodies because they can't take it
anymore.
Yeah.
I'm trying to...
Imagine possessing someone and you're just like, you know what? I've been in this person for like 3 days. Nope, I'm out. Too much.
Yeah, there was an angel like that. Do you remember that
show,
Angel,
I was just
with David Boreanaz?
Yeah,
that was a great show. That was like one of the best of that series, frankly.
You know? It was spooky too when you know we find out that the demon has been trying to get out of this kid because the kid was so scary. Yeah, that was that was creepy. Yeah,
that was a good one.
I love that show, and I'm in the right now. I'm watching Buffy over again for like the 600th time, and it's one of my comfort shows. And I just ended season 3, which is where Angel season 1 starts, and I'm like, okay, now do I start watching season 4, episode 1 of Buffy, and then go right into Angel? Like, I'm trying to figure out if I should do this or not, because, you know, that's how it goes.
You do it like the WB used to do it. You do one and one. You know, just block out 2 hours and bam.
God,
that's
the
right.
WB, now I feel old. Is the WB, does they even do the WB, like, anymore with the little dancing frog that sings? Or is that gone? Is that like dead with my generation?
No idea. Yeah. Does anybody even have regular TV anymore? We stream.
I don't.
Everything.
I don't.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, and just streaming service.
I think I do, but I can't remember the last time I watched it. So.
Oh, I have a computer hooked up to my TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of my friends do the same.
Yeah.
Oh, and
I don't know. I think it just destroys pixels. So. Like, I can't see well off of a TV screen computer. I never figured out how to make it to where the pixels act right. And I'm not a very technological person.
Yeah, you just have to have an HDMI hookup.
Yeah.
And you're fine. Yeah.
Now I feel dumb.
Maureen, can you tell us about your story in the anthology? I completely forgot we had another story.
Yeah, it's actually an excerpt of a novel. And the excerpt that I'm about to read is inspired, if you will. Do you remember that dude who was a handyman in Yosemite and he murdered those women? Carrie Stainer, I think his name was.
The name rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a true story. It's a true crime story. And he murdered these women who were tourists in Yosemite. And then he murdered a woman who worked in Yosemite, but she beat him up so badly that people noticed, and that's how the police caught him. And I was really inspired by that woman, by his final victim. And so I put this scene in the novel, and then I excerpted it, and it turned into the story of the strange girl. So here we go. And it's a woman and a young woman, a teenager and her mother are staying in a motel, and they go back to their room after coming home from dinner, and the handyman is in the room.
Okay.
Their room was open, and a handyman wearing a tool belt knelt on the floor, twisting a wrench on a bolt inside the air conditioner. The cover panel rested on the bed, and on top of it stood a young woman with long black hair that hung down her back like a sheet of night rain. "Nothing is broken," the young woman said. "He removed a part before you got here. That asshole has my favorite earrings in his trailer, a chunk of my hair, too." The handyman smiled over his shoulder at Tess's mother, who smiled back. The girl shimmered in the hot air and disappeared. "I'll get this up and running for you," the handyman said. He screwed the cover plate back on, his forearms rippling with hard muscle. "It's pretty warm in there." Her mother talked in the voice she used with store clerks and Tess's teachers. If Tess did not know better, she would hear that voice and think her mother was an easy person to talk to. The handyman finished with the wrench and got to his feet. He was only a few inches taller than Tessa's mother, but his chest was broad as a wall, and his arms were long and cabled. Tess pictured him outside a low trailer lifting barbells above his chest while lying on a cracked vinyl bench. Now, as he stood before them, his tool belt hung with the glimmering heads of young women tied to the strap by their hair. The one that dripped fresh blood from her neck was the girl who had been standing on the bed, calling the handyman out on his bullshit. she whispered from where she hung. He had her earrings in his trailer. He'd murdered her for no reason. Watch what he does now, the ghost girl said. The handyman closed and locked the window. He tipped an imaginary hat and gave Tess a wink. Thank you so much, her mother said. Later, when her mother was in the bathroom, Tess checked the window and found a wad of chewing gum wedged in the lock, rendering it useless. She picked the gum out with her fingernail and tested the lock a few times to make sure the mechanism held secure. Outside in the moonlight, the ghost boy stood, his nearly white hair like a halo glowing. Thank you for your help, Tess said out loud. Maybe the girl who had warned her could still hear. The air conditioner blasted, and from deep inside the metal coils, she heard the sound of women crying. And you just have to read the book if you want the rest of it.
Yeah, I like that.
What's the book's title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the excerpt.
Oh, the book that I excerpted it from is as yet unpublished.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm.
And that's called the, well, it's called A Strange Girl Now. Yeah. Thanks. I'm really glad to be in this anthology. The stories are all really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when I was thinking back to ghosts and I'd heard, you know, do you think they're just a, like, pictures in a book almost, like the way that The Shining described them, you know, that they can't hurt you. It's just a residual kind of like. Now, sometimes when you go into a place or something and you have that feeling of there's something not right here or there's, you know, it feels evil or whatever, how would you explain that? Because to me, if it's just residual, it's just something that's happening, you know, or happened a long time ago and it's just replaying itself over and over again. But I don't think you'd really have a feeling for that. That would just be, you know.
Yeah, I'm with Teresa on this. I think there's energy that, you know, I'm not interested necessarily in defining it. I don't feel like it needs to be defined. I think there's so much in the world that we don't understand, and our brains are relatively ineffective in parsing a lot of it out. It's not necessary. I feel like I don't need to know. I don't need a scientific explanation. But I'm with Teresa. I think some energy or whatever it is destructive.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have any proof of that. It's just like a feeling I have.
Right. You know, it's funny because, you know, I think that religion plays a definite part in people's beliefs in the afterlife.
So
or the, you know, the, you know, stuff like that. And so for me, being raised as a, you know, Southern Baptist, you know, I don't necessarily believe in ghosts. I believe in I think that once you die, you go on. You know, you don't stick around or whatever. So, you know, whenever there is an instance of, you know, something that just you can't explain it, I say it's a demon. You know, I mean, which to me makes it even scarier.
Right.
For some reason,
that's
you know?
Right. And it does. And you have to be a believer. I have been brought up a believer to be truly frightened, because I was brought up Catholic and I'm still Catholic. And so this stuff like scares me quite deliciously. But
yes,
I also believe that metaphors, they may not be true in quotation marks, but they're also, but they are full of truth. And, for instance, that young lady, Joy, who roughed up Carrie Stainer so badly that people got their hackles up and wondered what happened to him and put the police on him. Like, her spirit still lives very much in my mind. I mean, after her passing, she had quite an effect. I mean, she kept many other women from being harmed. I mean, her life on Earth is no longer here, but her effect still is. And I think that metaphor is really powerful, and I think that's what artists are for.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. And you keep her alive through your story.
I'm a non-believer, so I don't believe in anything really. So the ghost stories and that aren't as scary to me because I don't believe they're real, but I do believe in energy, and I think energy is the most powerful thing on Earth. Mm-hmm. So that.
But you're
scary,
the one who said that you went into that house and you
absolutely and
saw the person in the window and the energy.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're 100% a non-believer? Because that sounds really, really believable.
Well, no, I mean, I'm a non-believer in, like, religion. Non-religion.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's why she could stand there and just be like, whatever, I don't have time for this crap. Me and you, Maureen, we'd be like, oh, I'm out of here, I'm gone.
No, it was the other way around. It was Maureen.
No,
who was
it was
like,
the other
I'm
way around. I was the one who saw the girl in my classroom. Okay, I know. If you knew how busy I was back in those days, that was 3 years ago. I was a very busy. I mean, I didn't have time. I had a little kid. I had a really intense job. Like, I literally didn't have time.
That's so
hey, nobody got time for that, absolutely. So.
No, yeah. And I'm not afraid of kids. I'm not going to be afraid of a teenager, even one that, you know, died 50 years ago. No.
Yeah. The whole ghosts, demons, possessions. Oh, God. They just terrify me. But, you know, I do have to say that it's been a long time since I think a movie has done a good. How can you top The Exorcist? I mean, that movie right there. When I watched it when I was way younger than I should have watched it the first time, and to this day, if I see Linda Blair, you know, on a commercial or anything, I get the heebie-jeebies. Even now, I still do. I'm like, oh God, it's her. You know,
yeah. The 70s were it though for horror movies. I mean, the 70s were it. But there's some horror literature right now that for me has that impact. Has anybody read White Tears? By Hari Kondru. Oh,
like,
my God.
No. Yeah, I've read that, yeah.
It's,
I want to write it down now.
So scary. It's not demon. It's a ghost. It's so scary. But, you know, Heart-Shaped Box, when I opened the first page of that, I literally threw it across the room.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
Right. I was terrified by that. Yeah, one of you mentioned it earlier. I threw it across the room. It was terrifying. I think that a lot of what's really happening in horror right now, it's happening in books.
Yeah.
It was actually a ghost story that got me started in horror author and horror writing.
What is it?
I was working at a gym, and during my breaks, I would read books because I had nothing better to do. I was reading Hell House. I can't remember who it's by, but it's a really, really popular book, and I didn't really care for it. It just
I read that.
I didn't really care for it.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't have enough descriptive stuff to me. I mean, it was well written, just not my taste. I didn't find it scary. Well, the front counter girl, Angela, she read too, and I was like, here, read this book and take it. Whenever you lend a book, you can never expect to get it back. So that's gone to the sands of time.
True.
I'm like, here, have this. So next day she comes in and throws it at me and says, how dare you make me read something so damn scary? And I was like, are you serious? And I was a struggling fantasy writer at the time, and I said, screw it, I need to jump over to horror. Apparently, okay.
Oh, that's an awesome reason. That's really good. I like that.
No, I know it's subjective, too.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, it's very subjective. It's very subjective. For instance, possessions don't scare me. I wasn't raised with that mindset. I was raised Buddhist, so we didn't really have possessions.
Yeah.
So.
They terrify me. They literally terrify me. Now,
for
you know,
legitimate reason.
Yeah.
You brought up that was like horrifying evil. I mean, that makes sense for you to be afraid of it.
It's true. It's funny when you said about, you know, things are subjective, but, you know, have you ever looked in Amazon and then a book that you just think is amazing? I mean, for so many different reasons, this book is amazing. And then you read through and there are so many bad reviews. So, you know, it is so, and I don't understand it. I honestly don't know. Like, did you guys read the same book?
But that's really good for us writers, because then when we get those one-star reviews, it makes us not feel so bad because we know that everyone has different tastes.
Yeah.
And it could just be, you know, someone just doesn't like that book. So that's what makes me feel good when I get shitty reviews.
Yeah, one man's nightmare is another man's daydream. You know, you can only do so much, because once it's
written
in paper, can't change it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last ghost story, or kind of like haunted house story that I read that was actually really good. I in my opinion, the Conjuring movies, I thought were, I liked them. I thought they were a little, you know, franchisey and, you know, and stuff, but I still liked them. But I picked up the book by the oldest daughter from the that house, the Conjuring house. What was her name? Oh, God. Perrone. Perrin? Perrin. Something Perrin. Andrea Perrin. There we go. And it's called House of Darkness, House of Light. And I would read that at like 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, everybody's asleep. It's just me up and I'm reading this, you know, haunted house story. And I legitimately was scared. I mean, pretty scared. And you could tell by reading it that I don't think she was really a great writer, but the fact that kind of added to the story, you know, that she was just trying to tell this, you know, this experience. And, I don't know. It was great. It really was. It made the movie even scarier to me. I mean, even though, you know, there's a lot of things that they embellished with the movie, but and that family, they were in the house for like 10 years. Now, to me, that's just insane, you know, going. But I suppose that when you're going through something, you know, something like this and things are happening, it probably has times where it's not as bad. So you almost, and it's not like you can go anywhere. You can't do anything. So you have to be in this house. So I think that you pretend it's better than it is or something. Or like, no, I didn't see that. You know, you'd have to, I think, or go crazy. I don't know which one. So
you only have so many options. If you have no house, you have to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, I joke around.
And you can
around,
be like a frog in water, too, where it's getting worse so gradually that before you know it.
Yeah. Like, it's often the attitude I take with, you know, well, why don't you just leave the house? Because oftentimes by the time, you know, the shit's really starting to be flung at you, you're already invested in it. It's too late.
That's right.
I joke around all the time that if something happens, you know, here at the house we live in, I'm like, we're out, we're moving. And but how realistic is that really? You know, we're just going to pack up this house. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't know what I would do. I definitely, I'd be scared. So I'd be calling up all the churches in the area, you know, can you please come pray over my house or something?
I had a student one time who was being followed by a ghost that wouldn't leave her alone, was constantly trying to play with her and things like that. And they brought a priest in the house and just the priest told her, please tell the ghost that you can't hang out. Like, you have to go. Because what they say is that ghosts are just trying to ask you, to the living, to do their work for them. So if you just tell them, hey, I can't do your work for you, I have my own work to do, they'll leave. I've had more than one person tell me that.
Well,
I'm just saying that
ever,
because you sound really scared.
You're
like, if this ghost
about.
Comes in your house, tell him to leave. Like, don't worry. You sound really scared right now. You're making me feel sad.
I'm going to try that. Please leave.
Yeah, just say, I can't hang out. I can't do your work. You have to do your own work.
Yeah, I'm busy.
If it's energy or a spirit or something, they're just trying to ask you to do their work for you, for them. And you can't. You have your own work to do.
It's funny.
Maybe
the last time The last time I was scared and I'm, you know, up in the middle of the night going pee and I'm thinking to myself, okay, a ghost, they can't read my mind. You know, of course I don't know this, but that's what I'm saying to myself. Exactly. So I'm saying, okay, if you just act like you're not scared, they won't bother you. So no matter what happens, no matter what you see or hear, you just ignore it. This is what's going on in my head. And nothing's happened. Nothing at all. So it's just,
psychological game. You have a wonderful imagination, that's all.
Yeah.
And I should stay
but
away
you
from
also
scary
have
stuff
super
at
positive
night.
Energy. I don't think any negative spirit wants you. I think your energy is too positive. I do.
Yay,
I
that's
think
a good
poets
thing.
Often feel haunted. Poets often feel haunted. It's part of it.
I'm just thinking about how he said earlier, if he becomes a ghost, he just start pissing people off. I'm just picturing the Paranormal Activity 2 when she's trying to ignore the thing and it opens everything in the kitchen, just basically as a big F off, you're paying attention to me if I want attention.
Yeah, I know, but that was a movie, sir. That was not real.
I know, just that was what flashed through my mind. I'm thinking, like, you know, you talk to the ghost.
Those movies are scary. Oh my god.
On the opposite end of that,
I shouldn't say this, but
you know, we were talking about Angel and Buffy. You had Cordelia, you know, deciding to room with the ghost. You know,
I love Cordy. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't taking any shit. So for the Buffy and Angel fans, who did you ship, Buffy and Spike or Buffy and Angel?
Oh, Angel. Oh.
Really?
So,
okay,
so,
see.
He's so handsome.
You know. Well, you know what? Yes, he is. And the funny thing is even to this day, my dying wish is to be cremated. And I want, you know, my boyfriend or whoever has my ashes to run up to David Boreanaz and, like, sprinkle them at him. That's my wish. I love David Boreanaz. I do.
That'll be one hell of a police report.
I'm wondering how they're going to write the restraining order, you know. So.
The judge sitting there just like, I have to what? What did he do?
That's been my wish.
Yes.
So I love Angel. I do. But as far as Buffy and Angel together, to me, they had a storybook romance, and I don't think it was as deep and as real as they believed at the time. And I just think I loved her and Spike together. I really did. And then when you went over to Angel and you had the storyline with Angel and Cordelia, when that developed, and by the time that happened, I was sold. I was like, they're best friends, and I see it. You know, she really grew up in the show. So, yeah. I invested a lot of my years in these shows. So, for me, Angel and Cordelia, I shipped them. I really did. And I liked Buffy and her bad boy Spike. So, but I still have love out there for Angel because I want him, you know, I want to be sprinkled all over him. Come on, you gotta have a dying wish, right?
I gotta ask
Mr. Boreanaz.
Are we talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
It's cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I was 90% sure that's what we were talking about. I just did not know for certain. I never watched the show. My sister watched, like, a season.
Oh,
and,
I loved this show. I did.
I heard good things. I heard good things.
Yeah. And I have to say, rewatching it again now, I think it lives up to the time and everything. It definitely is not one of. Yeah, I don't think it's outdated. I mean, yeah, sure, a little bit, but I mean, yeah, I think that it's great. It is, and as a matter of fact, as soon as we get done with the show, I'm probably gonna watch Buffy. So.
That's funny.
So I think I was asking what everybody, well, we had almost out of time. So I want to ask everybody what they are doing now and what you're writing and what you're up to. And so, yeah, go.
Oh, I'm putting revisions on a novel. I'm about to send it off to my agent. It's not horror. It's a murder mystery based again on another true crime. Really looking forward to getting that out in the world. I don't think we've heard Derek's story. No, we haven't heard Nick's story.
That's correct.
We
haven't heard his.
Did fine. No worries. I know we're running out of time. I want to hear what everyone's working on.
Oh.
I can read it if you want. Just, I'm really interested to hear what everyone's working on because I'm not gonna lie. I liked everyone's story here when I read the anthology. So basically, I'm a fan of all of you now. So.
I'm a fan of you, man.
Back at you.
I stand.
I've got about three stories out in the world right now trying to find homes, writing more stories. I'm also outlining a UFO novel. So.
Ooh. Well,
oh, that's
UFOs
cool.
UFOs are fun.
Yeah, UFOs are real cool. I like those. Is it like they see a spaceship and then stuff happens, or is it like aliens, like that the 8mm film, the one where they film the alien?
It's actually about the aftermath of an alien encounter where this couple was camping with their kid. They were attacked. The wife goes missing and the kid is nowhere to be found. And about 10 years later, they find the wife living in a trailer park in Florida under a different identity. The kid also comes back and he hasn't aged. So I'm just
going to
leave it at that.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Aliens don't scare me as much, so I can definitely read that and not have to be afraid all night.
If you're looking for aliens that'll scare you, have you ever heard of the Dead Space?
Fourth Kind. Oh. Which one?
Fourth Kind was freaky, but Dead Space. It's based off some video games. They did a novel series for it, and it is freaky.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Actually, there is one. This is spoiler material, but there's a movie called Honeymoon that came out in 2014. Also has some alien content. Can't say much more without
content.
I love alien content.
Okay. Who else do we have that
I'll
has
go
some? Okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'll say quick. I'm always working on 3-4 projects at the same time. I'm writing a kid's novel about witches and familiars, and I'm writing my second crime novel, follow-up. It's going to be a 10-book series, I hope. That's set in Toronto. And I'm writing a comedy Christmas script, and I'm writing a web series.
Oh, cool.
Wow. And there's so many different genres going on. That's awesome. I do wonder, one of my favorite authors, he'll write something and then the next book will be a different genre or sort of different and everything. And, you know, this one will be like really scary and the next one's got, you know, a lot of comedy. And I wonder if you kind of need to do that when you're writing, just do something totally different to kind of cleanse your palate a little bit and then go back. I mean, yeah.
I find I can always be doing something and always working if I have different projects to do. I can't work on one thing because then I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, I'm like that.
Yeah.
I typically have about 8 tabs open with Microsoft documents, and I write at least minimum one page on each of them a day. And then I'll focus on one. So I'll write like 4, 5, 6, 7. Sometimes if I get on kind of a spree, I'll write like 30, 40 pages. But everything else is one page.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool. I hate to say this, but we are just about out of time for our show. But it's been so much fun. You know, I should have made the show longer tonight because we definitely could have, you know, chatted for a lot longer. And I feel very sad that we didn't get Nicholas' story on here. And so I'm going to have you back. And so you have to promise to come back. So, yes, I promise.
Oh, anytime.
We had so much fun, and I'm hoping, you know, if I watch Buffy and stuff, I can get the scary stuff out of my mind, and I'll be okay when it's time to go to bed about 3:00 this morning.
Yeah, don't look up Dead Space tonight. Don't look up Dead Space tonight.
Yeah, don't look at any of those things.
Oh, you know she's going to. She's going to be all scaredy cow all night. You know, I begin to think Xtina is maybe working in the wrong genre, to be honest. I mean, she knows she needs to go. She needs to work with a publisher that, you know, publishes just fluffy kittens and puppies stories.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Puppies and kittens publishing.com.
And they'll be out there. So maybe need to look into that. But, again, thank you so much, everyone. It is time has beaten us again. It is time. If everybody can manage to say this in unison, that would be great. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
You're a good
one. Yeah, that didn't work.
It's okay. We can fix it in post-production.
Sure.
I'll fix it in post-production. Not a problem. No.
Awesome.
Never do. Thank you so much, and good night, Xtina.
Nice.
All right, y'all have good.